You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is my good friend, Dave Gleason. Now, you may know Dave as quite possibly the biggest influencer when it comes to youth fitness and youth sports performance in our industry. I mean, Dave has, you know, spoken at about every conference that focuses their attention on this topic. He has contributed to organizations that I've been heavily involved in. In fact, Dave was, I guess, tied for our first franchisee. We had a group of five originally in my first franchise, Athletic Revolution, and served as the host for pretty much all of our franchise training. So, you know, I've got to see Dave in his facility in action countless times and, you know, spoken at events I hosted, and he's just truly one of a kind when it comes to, you know, just being an incredible coach, especially for that kind of younger half of the, what I guess we would qualify as the youth market. So, Dave, I mean, so much we could talk about. I'm excited to have you on, so welcome.
Thanks so much, Pat. And, you know, I just always have to laugh just a little bit when I get a great introduction like that. And I appreciate it from you when we talk about the younger side of things, because I've said for years and years, the reason why I think I do so well with, you know, the 6 to say 13 year old age group is because I have the maturity level about of an 8-year-old. So I fit right in with those kids.
Well, you know what? There are probably worse things to be or worse traits to have. Yeah. So, I mean, what I've witnessed you do with that kind of piece of the youth market, that 6 to 13 crowd, I mean, it's just really amazing. I mean, I can think back to an event we hosted at Tyler English's facility where you had a pretty eclectic group of young people that didn't all fit into that age group. Some of them were a little bit older that had never met you before. I don't know that they had never met one another before. And they were all about as different as could be. And within minutes, you had them all, you know, excited to be part of the, you know, the activities that you were doing. You know, you had, you know, teenagers really connecting well with kids who were 6 or 7, and just seeing how you were able to, you know, infuse fun and connection and so much in not only helping these kids become more fit and move better and become more athletic, but just really develop life skills as well. So, man, I could just sit here and probably rave about this for 30 minutes, but I don't know how entertaining that would be for the group, but it'd certainly just bring back fond memories for me. So let's transition and talk for a minute about, you know, what got you into this part of the industry, this youth fitness performance side, because that wasn't where you started out for the first, you know, pretty significant segment of your, you know, career as a fitness professional.
True. You know, like many of us that are in the sports performance side of things, we have some background in athletics ourselves. You know, personally, we played sports growing up, and I was fortunate enough to play soccer in college. But, you know, I started my career, you know, as I was supposed to after 4 years of college. I grew up in the health club industry. I didn't really know any other way. This was way back in, you know, 1993. That's where I kind of started. But, you know, looking back, I always had my hands in working with kids to some degree, whether it was in soccer camps over the summer, which I did all the way through high school and college, and then after. Or, you know, going to, say, my fitness director, the general manager of whatever health club I was working at the time, and saying, hey, we don't really have any programs for kids. And really, you know, if we can start to develop a foundation for them, they, you know, maybe they'll be members of the health club someday. So a lot of times they would give me just a shot at, you know, running these classes for kids and starting these different classes. But Yeah, I mean, I did everything from health club where I worked up to, you know, being the general manager at a health club to managing a small personal training studio, mostly adults, because I felt like, you know, for the first part of my career, I was chasing money, to be honest with you, Pat. You know, wherever the dollars were, that's where I was trying to go. I had a very, very, very strong in-home personal training business in a really affluent part of Massachusetts right before, you know, we opened Athletic Revolution in 2009. But, you know, I had realized that I was chasing money. It wasn't fulfilling me on the inside. And I just really believed, especially having some conversations with you, that if I did what I was passionate about and I helped enough kids, I could also make money doing that as well. You know, I think a lot of young trainers and coaches, they follow the dollar signs where, you know, if I can charge $90 to $100 an hour going to someone's home, man, what a great career that is. But for me, it was more about affecting kids' lives in a positive way, knowing that if you do that, parents will pay just about anything for that as well.
Yeah, so I remember those conversations, and that's something that I think that we talk about a lot when, you know, we're discussing this whole concept of building your ideal business is, you know, play to your strengths, and, you know, you got to be able to connect what you're excited about and what you're strong in with opportunities that are available, like problems that actually need solved. Mm. You know, not everybody, you know, there is passionate about something that they can turn into a viable business, but clearly this was an opportunity to turn this into a viable business. And you made that leap. So let's talk about that for a minute, because that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, you did have a successful in-home training business. You were established, you had good clientele, and you had a family. So you had responsibility that, you know, it's not the same as when you or I might have been younger and, you know, hey, we can take those risks because we don't have kids. And so, you know, there's some other pieces here. So how did you make that move?
That's a great question. You know, the first word that comes to my mind is faith, Pat, but not necessarily in a religious way, certainly a spiritual way for me. But you know, when I made the decision, I actually went to a Ryan Lee conference because, you know, my in-home business was going great, but I figured, well, the next logical step, right, is to go online and make even more money helping people lose weight and this type of thing. And what I got out of that conference, though, I'll never forget the ride home on the train, was I'm not doing what I love. I am not doing what I'm passionate about. And yes, I'm affecting people's lives, you know, adults' lives, helping them get in better physical condition and lose fat and all this stuff. But I really wanted to give kids the opportunity to be the best kids that they could be. And I wanted to also give kids what I felt like I did not get from some of my coaches. I had great coaches, just like we all had. And then I had coaches that like, well, that's definitely not how I want to treat a child if I ever get the chance, you know, the opportunity to coach. So that, like, this burning desire in me to do that, I can remember very clearly, I asked to speak to you and we spoke on the phone. It was the Monday after that conference, and I told you what I needed to do, and you gave me some tips and some pointers. And for me, I needed to have that switch go off in my brain that connected me to my heart, and that there was no, like, the word failure wasn't part of the equation. It was only how fast am I going to succeed? How fast, how quickly can I get this up and running? So that was in the fall of 2008, you and I spoke. You and I formed, I signed paperwork for Athletic Revolution in 2009 in the spring, in April, and 2009 in October, we opened our facility. And there was just no, you know, you've always said you get paid for done and you have to take action. It was just like, what do I do today to get this done? So it was scary, but it wasn't like the fear got in the way of me succeeding, meaning I didn't even know what success meant at that point. I didn't have a dollar figure on it or how many kids I needed to train or wanted to train. You know, we did pro formas and stuff like that to make sure this was going to work and we weren't going to go upside down. So that's the only way I know around it is I had faith that it would work because I knew it was the right thing. And there was just, once the switch went off in my head, it was just, you know, how quickly can I get it done?
So, you know, I probably as much as any business, you know, wasn't in the same town that I live in. you know, I got to spend a lot of time just seeing what was going on in your business. And, you know, I mean, heck, it seemed like I was there about every 6 weeks for probably 3 years. I got to see the fact that the culture was so strong, so powerful, that that was a great retention tool, a great tool to help generate referrals or word of mouth. I mean, there were a number of variables that played into you doing well in what is, you know, typically regarded as a challenging segment of the industry. I mean, I don't think that, you know, anybody who's been involved in the sports performance side or the youth fitness side understands that that side of the market faces some challenges that the adult side doesn't, with, you know, seasonality and just so much tugging in different directions for kids' schedules with sports and school and homework and, you know, travel teams and club teams and you name it. So how did you, you know, really kind of have some success and build this to a point that I think that, you know, it was pretty reflective of what I think a lot of people wish they could have when they say, hey, man, that's what I would like to be doing.
Mm-hmm. What I would say about that is I didn't focus on everything that could derail us. And that landscape that you just described has only escalated. Now, my biggest competitor is recreational youth sports and club sports. It's not even, you know, when we met and you used to come up to Boston, we were really the only game in town on what we consider the South Shore of Massachusetts, so south of Boston toward Cape Cod. Now, if I were to take anyone listening to this for a ride for about 10 minutes, we'd probably see 10 to 15 different locations that are either dedicated sports performance facilities or they're a fitness facility of some sort that has that type of program. Even now, the Boys and Girls Club in the next town over, which is a half mile from our facility, has, they just came out with their 6 week, you know, sports performance for 6 to 8 year olds. All of that has escalated. Kids are only busier with homework and other, and the social aspect of being a child has definitely become different. I'll say that it's more difficult having two boys myself that are going through it. But, you know, to answer your question, we just couldn't focus on any of those things. We needed to know about them, but we needed to do what we did and do it better than anyone else. That's always what we focused on. I tell my staff to this day, we market from inside our four walls and out. So what that means is every single experience, every training session, every conversation we have with a child and or a parent, for that matter, needs to be exceptional. It needs to be memorable. It needs to be remarkable. You know, we need to be the dinner time conversation. We need to be the conversation on the bus where other kids are going, what are you guys talking about? Oh, you know, we go to, we're Athletes Acceleration, South Shore. We go to AX. You got to come to our gym. It's so awesome. So not to toot our own horn, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is our focus is 100% on the experience that people have when they walk in the door. And by extension, you use the word culture. I would say that has a lot to do with our culture. It's based on the experience we have, because if that is there, that's your retention. That's your, you know, we've had kids in our program since the day that we started this, which I think is pretty remarkable. I don't know many adults that stay with a program that long, let alone a child that's been in the same gym consistently, you know, 1-2 times a week, even with their busy schedules for 7 or 8 years. And it's, yes, our programming is fantastic. I'd put it up against anybody's, but it's the experience they have. They leave and they don't want to. They can't wait till, you know, they come in for the next session. And that's what we strive for. Anything less than that, we feel like as coaches, we didn't have a successful session.
Very cool. Very cool. So what kind of things do you feel like you had to get better at to be successful in this side of the market? And, you know, I don't think I've ever asked this question of a guest on a podcast, but I know that just because you were making a transition from the adult side to youth side, and I mean, clearly you were a great coach that, you know, was continuing to improve and evolve, but like, what kind of things do you feel like you had to change or focus on or improve on to do what you wanted to do?
For me personally, it was, I also needed to become a business owner. My wheelhouse, I would tell anybody this, is coaching. whether it's coaching kids or coaching other coaches, it's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Like literally, like I can't wait to coach. But to allow myself to do that as much as I still am able to now, and now I'm at the point where if I choose not to coach, I cannot coach. I needed to become a better business owner. And part of that means having business systems to run off of so that when I am away, I'm going to be away this weekend for 3 days. I know that everything's going to be smooth. Everything's set up. We have evaluations and new kids coming in tomorrow, and I'm not going to be there. I know my staff can handle it. It's having a system to actually train my staff and not, you know, train them for 3 months to get them ramped up so that they can coach and then you forget about it. It's, you know, we have weekly coaching meetings and we have monthly coaching meetings that are performance and programming based for, and it's a 2-hour meeting where we're all, I'm trying to coach my coaches up to be better coaches. I'm learning from them and we're going over our programming and all of that. You know, another part of it is I needed to become a person that knew my numbers. You know, how many leads do I have coming in? How many of those leads am I converting? How many of those conversions are we retaining after 3 months, after 6 months, after 12 months? How, you know, all I needed to know all of that, which to be honest with you, when I first opened, the only thing I wanted to know was like, are we winning or are we losing? That's what I used to say to my accountant. And she's like, well, it's not just, you know, it's not just cut and dry, black and white. You know, you're making money and you haven't had a bad month since you opened or whatever. But knowing my numbers, because we needed to, and this is a big thing for people that are listening, that even if you've been in it for a while, let alone if you're just starting out, make business decisions analytically, not emotionally. That was a big, big paradigm shift for me, Pat. You've seen me coach. I'm really emotional when I coach. You've probably seen me cry on stage talking somewhere. But, you know, I would make emotional decisions on my business. And a lot of times they might not be the best decision for your business at that time. And it could be walking away from what looks like to be a great deal or, you know, a joint venture partnership. But making business decisions based on analytics, and you can't do that unless you know your numbers. So right off the top of my head, with the short amount of time that we have here, it would be those things.
Very cool. So what's next? Like where is, well, I mean, first of all, I guess you kind of where you are currently, you've rebranded. Talk about that for a minute, because I mean, after years of kind of, you know, having a brand in a market, I mean, talk about the evolution there, and then we'll talk about what's next.
It's something I thought about for years, and you know, things change. The industry changes, needs and wants change, systems and the way people do things or businesses do things change. And I really had felt like for a while I needed a change, almost a shot in the arm in terms of, you know, the business side of things, because, you know, I was really comfortable. And I was very pleased, and I still am, with our programming and our coaching and how we're continually evolving to try to be better and better and stay ahead there. So, you know, you've been in the industry for a while, and, you know, you and I talked about this a little bit before this call, and you develop some really strong relationships with people that you trust and that you know can keep up with changing demands of the industry better than anyone else. It was a very, very easy decision for me to make to be part of the Athletes Acceleration family. So that rebranding I was afraid of a little bit because I didn't know what it entailed really. But you know what? We made a list of everything we needed to change over, everything from the paint scheme to the logo to, you know, all of our forms and internally and externally and paperwork and billing systems and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? We went through it. It took about a month. It took a long weekend to change over everything, you know, internally inside the business in terms of we painted, we put up signage, you know, on the front door and all that stuff. And it was like when I first started, where we just hit the ground running. Once the decision was made, the transition was easy. We just had to walk through it. And I couldn't be more pleased because the growth we've already had since this has been astronomical. I'm really looking forward to the future. You know, when we've been doing this long enough, you know, for me, 8 or 9 years now, just focusing on this, I think we all need you know, some newness every now and then. So a shot in the arm, if you will. And it's not like I'm starting over. I had a really strong, strong business to start with. But now, you know, I'm looking at, do we make this a legacy business for my kids, or do we make this into, you know, get it to the point where, you know, I sell it and maybe I work for that business. I don't know. But you know what? It's nice to have options at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of even got to talk about kind of what's next. But yeah, I mean, for the people listening in, you know, they may not know this, but Pat Beeth and I actually both, you know, invested and became, you know, partners, like minority partners in Dave's business, just because, you know, we were excited about his direction and knew that, you know, he wanted to rebrand and, you know, thought it was a neat opportunity for us to be involved in piece of the industry that we were so excited about and passionate about. And I mean, I know in my case had so much history with, so yeah. So Athletes Acceleration South Shore is kind of a new thing that, you know, it's fun to be able to get back involved with Dave and that facility.
It's been fun already. You know, we talked about it. It's really great when you put yourselves in the position where you get to do what you love to do every day. As business owners, we have to wear a lot of hats. And if you're like me and not that great, one of my weaknesses is delegation and putting people in the right positions and in the right seats. It's really, this was a dream come true for me.
So with all the stuff, I mean, we've kind of bounced around on some things, and I think you've given some pretty valuable insight on, you know, just the way that you've done things that, you know, that have allowed you to not only be successful, but be, you know, such an impactful person, both to coaches in our kind of coaching community, but then obviously so much locally. What kind of advice would you have to somebody who, you know, maybe they're already in business, maybe they're either already in the youth side, the sports performance side of things, or maybe they aspire to? Typically, I ask people on here, you know, what kind of like three tips, suggestions, ideas that you have that would be of value to them that maybe you wish you'd have known?
Good question. So not necessarily starting out, they could already have a business.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of the people listening in already are in business.
Yeah. One thing that's really important is to continually be super, super honest with yourself in terms of what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then you have choices to make. You know, you can make the choice to get better and, you know, increase your ability with your weaknesses, or, you know, really map it out and be honest about what you can find, or what you find you can have someone else do that's way better than you. I had heard this years and years ago when I was managing health clubs. You know, the really successful people surround themselves with people that are better than themselves at certain tasks. So, you know, be super honest with yourself and check your ego at the door. Cause you know, I grew up where, you know, my dad used to always say, if you want anything done right, do it yourself. So that was just always in the back of my head that I had to do everything because the way I did it was right. Well, when I was actually able to be honest with myself, that's where my business really started to grow and my life started to get better, because I put people in places and gave them opportunities to do things for me and with me that, you know, they're better at it than me. And I want them to be better at it than me. I want my coaches to be better coaches than I am. So that's one thing. The second thing I already mentioned is, you know, make business decisions as much as possible analytically. I mean, even the decision to go with, you know, Athletes Acceleration and to partner with two guys that I love and respect a lot. If I just led with my heart, it would have been like, yeah, let's do it. Let's just do it tomorrow. I don't even care what it looks like. But, you know, we had to talk about stuff. I had to look at it analytically. Is this the best situation for my business and for my life moving forward that I can make? And when my analytics matched up with what was in my heart, it's just a no-brainer. And then the third one, you've all probably heard many, many, many times, but it's something I forget. I don't know if you guys forget it, but never stop learning. Because as soon as you get close to the point where you feel like you know enough, or hopefully not thinking you know it all, I feel like we're just 10 steps behind. Things are moving so fast. And not just learning like academic book learning. We all know that Pat is an avid reader, probably has read more books in his life or in the last year than I will in my lifetime. But learn from your coaches, learn from your athletes, learn from your parents. Learn from your community, like read the local papers and get on your local, it's called Pembroke Connect. That's where everything happens in the community of Pembroke. Learn what people are talking about, what their concerns are. Go into organizations like the PTO or PTA, or if you're in sports performance, go to your local rec soccer league, baseball, lacrosse, whatever it is, and just learn about what they're dealing with, what their concerns are, so that you know how to help moving forward. So just continue to learn as much as you can, because it's also going to keep you fresh and keep your passion alive.
Very cool. So, well, first of all, Dave, I mean, thank you for sharing so much good stuff here. And I mean, it's really exciting just because your business is definitely a little bit different. And, you know, I think, you know, I heard years ago, and man, I've heard it repeated countless times, Dan Kennedy talking about, well, my business isn't different. Like, you know, that's the default answer when somebody says, you know, why something won't work is, well, my business is different. And his right. suggestion is that everybody's is, you know, everybody's is the same at its core. But, you know, I don't, as much as I agree with him on a lot of things, I don't think it's true, because I think your business has become a reflection of your strengths and your values and your vision. And I think the things that you shared here were not only how you built around that, but then the things that you had to do to make that work, like, you know, like making decisions analytically, things that you wouldn't default to automatically. So mm-hmm. you know, it's not as simple to say, hey, I'm good at coaching kids, so let's just throw the shingle out and hope. I mean, you talked about what you have to do to make that operate at a truly high level. So, man, I appreciate you offering some of that perspective and really kind of pulling back the curtain on everything that's going on. So thank you for being here. You know, as always, thank you guys for listening in to this episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks so much, Pat. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.